Now, I need three wise men, or wise people, should I say. And I've pre-warned the wise people this morning, and they are three of the Prancard family. I hope you will agree with me that they're pretty wise. So I'm going to ask Luke and Matilda and Alfie to come and assist me. And for this morning, these are your three wise people. I think a round of applause may be in need. And to assist with their wisdom, they have a Christmas cracker to pull. I haven't worked this... I might have to join in with that, or can you... Oh, no, okay. The purpose of this actually is to get a crown, so I'm hoping these crackers are actually loaded with crowns. Yes, well done. Okay, do feel free to take the bit of plastic toy and dispose of it sensibly. But please wear your crowns. That would be most helpful to me. Because these determine your wisdom. So here are the wise people. I'm going to give them all a gift once they've got their crowns on. Okay, so here you go, Alfie. I'm naming them today, these wise people. So we've got Alfie. We've got... Oh, I was about to say don't drop it because there's something breakable in it. So just be careful. Matilda. And Luke. And the reason why I've asked Luke and Alfie and Matilda to be my wise people is because Luke has got one of those fancy watches that tells you how many steps you do. I don't know if anyone else got a Fitbit or something like that for Christmas. Any hands going up? No, I didn't get one either. But Luke does have it. And what I want Luke and Alfie and Matilda to do while I do talk to you this morning is to walk round the church, okay? And actually, I just want you to keep going while I'm talking. Don't be distracted until I ask you to come back. You can go in any direction, up the middle, round the sides. Just keep going. I want to see how far, how many steps you do this morning. So I'm going to set you on your way. Off you go. Let's just... pray for these guys as they go on their walk this morning. And at some point, I will call you back to be with us. Don't be too distracting now, please. So, Christmas. Well, it's pretty much over, isn't it? But as Lorraine spoke to us this morning, as she was leading worship, she was talking about Epiphany, and this traditionally being the 12th day. So, have people taken their decorations down already? Yeah, have you kind of de-Christmased your houses? No, yes, yeah, I have. Well, I've got a few Christmas cards still up, but other than that, we're pretty done. Keep going, guys. But Christmas is often about journeys. Sometimes we travel a long way over the Christmas period to visit family, loved ones, friends. Maybe we just go next door to our neighbours, but it's often about journeying. I don't know if, did anyone else travel this Christmas holiday? Did people go, okay? We did. I'm looking at Henry, because on the day after Boxing Day, we went to see my parents who live in Shropshire. It normally takes about 4 or 5 hours to get there. The day after Boxing Day, it took the best part of the entire day to drive up to Shropshire. The M25 was solid in both directions. We even queued to get out of the service station. Not to get in, to get out of the service station. It was a truly horrendous journey. Everybody was travelling. Schools and colleges closed down. Children might go and visit grandparents or neighbours or cousins. But lots of journeys seem to take place over Christmas. And the Christmas story itself is full of journeys. We've got Mary and Joseph travelling to Bethlehem because of the census. We've got the angels that came from heaven down to tell the shepherds about Jesus' birth. We've got the shepherds that travelled to the manger. And we've got Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus that travelled to Egypt for the census. But perhaps the most famous journey of all is that of the wise men. And as Lorraine said this morning, actually we don't know a whole lot about the wise men. Some of the details that you think you know, So the fact that there were three, actually, there isn't a lot of evidence in the Bible that ever said that there was three wise men. The names of the wise men that you often hear traditionally spoken about, there's not a lot of evidence to say that that was definitely what the wise men were called. Or that they were even kings at all. We don't know their gender or their ethnicity. We don't know very much about the three, I should say, the wise people that travelled to the manger. But what we do know about these wise people is what makes their story even that little bit more intriguing. Because why would three non-Jewish scholars be interested in a Jewish king? I don't know. And why would they care about a Jewish prophecy? And why would they travel that far just to go and see a baby? We don't know very much about them, but there are some important things that we do know, and that's what we're going to discover this morning. Can I have my PowerPoint up? It's probably the second or third slide that says seekers, because these guys, these wise people traveling, they were seekers. They wanted to know the truth. Keep going. They studied. They studied scriptures and ancient texts, even outside of their own tradition. They weren't just content to sit and passively take in what they were told. They were constantly seeking. And they were watchers. Next slide, please. Not only were they seeking knowledge in ancient books and scriptures, they were watching the world all around them. There were quite a few people who had access to the scriptures which had the prophecies of the Messiah in. But it seems that only these wise people notice the strange light in the heavens and made the connection. These wise people were totally engaged with the world around them, and they were watching and looking for signs of God. And they were followers. When the wise men finally saw the sign, keep going, they dropped everything. Please don't drop the gifts. Okay. They dropped everything. The possibility that this divine moment captivated them and they followed. They kept following. And this journey they were taking, it wasn't a light overnighter of a journey. This took some really careful planning. In fact, they would be planning for a long time. It wasn't just days. It wasn't just weeks. In fact, probably they were travelling for months. And it took a lot of money. The likelihood is they had a caravan with them. So it had taken quite a lot of money to kit out the caravan, to employ guards, and to buy provisions and places to stay along the way. But their commitment to God was showing, their commitment to find where God was about to show up caused them to reorganize their whole lives. Their time, their comfort, their money, all of it was tied up in finding Jesus. And they were faithful. This journey was a massive step of faith. They had some ancient scripture that wasn't even from their own tradition. And they had the strange light in the sky. But they didn't have any guarantees. They didn't have an address. They didn't have a sat-nav that was going to give them their final destination. There was no promise that they would find anything after all of their efforts. But the wise men simply had hope. hope that the words of Scripture were true and that they could make this long journey safely. That they would get to see the baby king that they believed they were going to find. And that's the very definition of faith, I think. Trusting God's leading without guarantees. Trusting so much that you step out and you follow Jesus. They started this journey to follow Jesus, to find Jesus. They took a few steps each day, another step the next week, a few more steps month by month. One step, one day at a time. And ultimately, one more round, ultimately, they were worshippers. Along the way, the wise people bought their very best gifts. They were seeking God, but not for what they could get out of this journey. They were seeking with the intent to give. And that's what the Bible means by worship. We bring what we have to give to God. We bring our very best. And that's what these wise people are bringing. Things that were precious, things that mattered, and things that are costly. So, wise people, how many steps have you done on your journey this morning? Lots.
900
steps. I think that's pretty good going. Well done. And I see that you have brought gifts. Gifts to give to baby Jesus, our King. So I'm going to ask you, Matilda, can you very carefully open your gift to Jesus? Now, I'm saying carefully because in the packaging of these gifts, I've already managed to drop one and break one. So they are very, very, very delicate. Can you hold it up, Matilda, so we can see? So can you see there what Matilda's got? She's got her heart with the star that the wise people followed to find Jesus. Thank you. Can you open yours, Alfie? Perfect. Alfie got the gold. There's just one tiny bit of sellotape on there. Should just ping open. It looks worse than it is. There you go. Let's see what Alfie's got for baby Jesus. Oh, Alfie's got his heart too to give to Jesus. Luke, can you open yours, please? And Luke's got his heart to give to Jesus too. That's perfect. Can I ask you wise people to go and sit down and thank you very much for your... You can take your gifts with you. You can add them to your tree decorations for next year. So I'm going to ask the question. Are we wise? Because it's easy to ignore the journey, the commitment that these wise people took. They aren't the ones that Christmas is about, really, are they? And yet, they do seem to have something to offer us, something for us to think about, maybe something even quite inspirational. Because when I consider my own spiritual journey, what do I see? If you were to think about your journey with Jesus, what do you see? Do you long for God enough to make this kind of trip? Fortunately, none of us here need to trek over a desert today, so we're okay, because Jesus has already come. But God is still pursuing you. He's still pursuing me. What we get to decide to do is how we will respond when God shows up. We get to decide how central we want Jesus to be in our lives. And as we come to the end of the celebrations of Christmas this year, going back to school, college, university, work, our daily routines, let's consider these wise people in this story and ask ourselves these questions. Are we seekers or sitters? Do we really care to know about the truth? Do we really seek out what is true? Are we watchers? Do we retreat from the world into a comfortable space? Or do we engage with the world, looking for where God might show up next? Are we followers? When we have a sense that God is asking us to do something, do we follow through? Do we reorganize our lives so that we can follow where God is leading us? Are we willing to make God's priorities the very center of our lives? Do we step out in faith? Do we require guarantees from God? Or are we willing to follow even when we don't know what the outcome might be? We don't have to see the end of the journey to take some steps. Faith is about taking a step one day at a time on our journey with Jesus, trusting that he's with us every step of the way, even when we might not feel very sure about that. And are we worshippers? Do we seek God simply for what we can get out of it? Or do we bring our very best gifts to honour God? Do we give the very best of our time, the very best of our emotions, the very best of our resources to honour God? I'm going to ask Lorraine and the band to come back up and just start playing through a song. While we just think about those questions, just take a moment to think. Are you a seeker or are you a sitter? Are you a watcher? Will you follow? Will you step out in faith? Are you a worshipper? Where is your journey heading in 2019? Will it be a worshipping year? Will it be a faithful year? Will it be a year when you're seeking, when you're watching, where you're going to be when God shows up? Christmas tells us that God has come seeking us. We don't have to be separated because we're not alone. We are loved. Jesus' Christmas name is Emmanuel. God is with us. God is near. God wants a relationship with you, and God wants a relationship with me. God wants you to know him. He wants you to take that journey with him. God is seeking you, and that is great news. But Christmas does offer us an invitation. How will you respond to God? Will you seek him in your life? Will you watch for God in this world? Will you follow Jesus where he leads you? Will you have faith that doesn't demand guarantees, but chooses you to live out of trust? Will you worship, offering the very best you can? to God in gratitude for his love and for your life. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says this. God makes a promise to us. He made this promise way back when, way before the birth of Jesus. God promised that you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And this is exactly what those wise people did. They sought him with all of their heart. And this is the invitation for you in your life and your journey in 2019. Let's think about that. Let's stand together and sing as Lorraine leads us in this beautiful song. Let's make this our response to Jesus.